This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, we'll examine one of the most significant trends affecting employers today, paid sick leave. While there are no federal requirements for private employers to provide paid sick leave, or paid family leave for that matter, a number of states and cities have passed laws to expand employee rights in this area. California, Massachusetts, and Connecticut are among the states mandating paid sick time, and a number of big cities have followed suit. So just how concerned should employers be about these new mandates? To get to the bottom of this issue and what it means for compliance, we're fortunate to have a pair of attorneys join us from the nation's largest employment law firm, Littler Mendelson. Mark Phyllis and Pam Salgado practice with the firm's Pittsburgh and Seattle offices, respectively. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you both with us. And Pam, I'll start with you, since your home city was at the forefront of this paid sick leave trend. How has that worked out as a practical matter for the employers that you represent in the Pacific Northwest?
Seattle sure was at the forefront in 2012. It was really also at the forefront in applying what I'd call the snowflake approach, which is take a little from this ordinance over here, take a little from that ordinance over here, and each one seems to end up with a unique ordinance that stands on its own so that you don't have a lot of consistency across the board. It was really the start of employers struggling with how are they going to comply. Are they going to implement a universal policy or individual supplements? Are they going to accrue? Are they going to front load? And those are really some of the issues we're going to be talking about in the webinar that we're doing on this issue.
Mark, so far paid sick leave laws have been moving quickly, but it's really been happening in the bluest of the blue states, in the Northeast and on the Pacific Coast, where Pam is. So if I'm an employer in, say, Western Pennsylvania or the Midwest or the South, do I need to offer paid sick leave or worry about this trend?
David, it is a trend we expect to continue to see. Actually, the city of Pittsburgh passed an ordinance mandating paid sick leave. It was then challenged in the courts and is up on appeal. But we are seeing this initiative. We're seeing a lot of activity around this initiative in Minnesota, both in Minneapolis and St. Paul. The city of Chicago is now considering a formal ordinance. So we see this trend as continuing to expand across the country at the local and municipal level.
So with that said, Mark, if I'm a multi-state employer, how should I handle this issue with the myriad of laws out there? Is there any benefit to offering different paid benefits depending on the jurisdiction, or is that opening up a bit of a Pandora's box?
Unfortunately, with respect to paid sick leave, Pandora's box is already open. The number of different sick leave ordinances that are out there and the specific requirements in each of them create quite a headache for multi-state employers in trying to comply with the various mandates, the various rules that apply with respect to whether you can accrue sick leave, how much sick leave someone earns and can use over the course of the year, and even the reasons that someone can use paid sick leave.
I'll turn back to you, Pam, now. From your perspective in this type of situation, is there a compliance solution that works across the board and can avoid giving headaches to employers?
I will echo a bit of what Mark said in that there is so much uniqueness across the different jurisdictions. Employers, however, can, and they quite frequently come to us and say, hey, I'd like to just do a universal policy. We can help folks, and folks will parse through that issue. What might that look like in you, with your particular workforce, the populations of employees that you have? And maybe we can't adopt a fully universal policy because there are just some jurisdictions, Seattle being one of them, San Francisco, other places, that are too different, but that you can still adopt it in some circumstances and have some consistency to help in the administrative approach.
Again, our guests are Pam Salgado and Mark Phyllis of Littler Mendelson from the firm's Seattle and Pittsburgh offices. And Pam, what's a key issue that you expect employers to face more of as these paid sick leave laws continue to proliferate?
So employers, they can figure out how much sick leave to give, what the accrual rate needs to be, or are they going to front load what kind of use caps are they going to use. What if frequently will arise and maybe trip up employers later on are the implementation issues. How much notice does someone have to give? How much can you ask for a certification and after how many days? And the folks who are actually implementing those a lot of times are the managers and the supervisors. So as part of the planning process is thinking through what kind of resources are we giving our managers and our supervisors so that they're getting those details right. Because, yeah, we're giving you enough sick leave, but now we're not letting you use it, and that's opening us up to charges.
Mark, I've read that sick workers cost U.S. companies more than $160 billion in lost productivity each year, but some have said that the actual costs to businesses for these paid sick leave laws are really, in the long run, minimal, and that they haven't led to increased absences in places with these laws in effect. What's your take on this cost issue?
Picking up on where Pam left off, one of the primary costs of businesses that it's hard to address is actually the cost of implementing these sort of programs, because there are so many different requirements and it is a one-size-fits-all approach for businesses with 4 or 5 employees and businesses with 2,000 employees in the same location. The costs in those instances are very real as far as how an employer can actually structure its leave, structure its workforce so that it can accommodate the expected increase in leave. The laws are new, so as far as actual usage at this point, that's hard to get a precise figure on whether it has actually led to increased usage. It has certainly led to an increase in people's awareness of the availability of paid sick leave, and certainly has expanded paid sick leave to many people, such as part-time employees who, in many instances, did not have it previously.
Well, I mentioned at the top that there is no federal paid sick leave law in place, but President Obama did sign an executive order requiring federal contractors and subcontractors to provide paid sick leave beginning January 1st of 2017. Pam, what can you tell us about that requirement?
The good news for employers, that there is some, is that this will apply to new contracts starting in 2017. So for existing contracts that folks have in place, it's not going to apply. It will require a maximum bank of up to 56 hours of sick leave. There are proposed regulations that have been issued that provide a lot more detail. We're expecting final regulations in September. We might have some changes, so to the extent people can do so, they should have this apply to them because they're a federal contractor or subcontractor with a covered contract. They should be looking for those final regulations to help really understand the scope of what exactly do we have to provide. Part of the problem for the employers are that it's not consistent with the sick leave jurisdictions, which are requiring 40 hours. So it's quite an increase. You can't use fringe benefits under your Service Contract Act or Davis-Bacon Act that you might have to provide to comply with sick leave. So folks are going to need to understand that and understand it soon, because it might impact how you bid on contracts that you're entering into in 2017.
Another related topic in the news has been paid family leave. The U.S. really lags behind in this area, but we've seen a handful of states, including New Jersey and California, just to name two, offer employees 6 weeks of partial pay for their time off. Mark, do you think we'll see more of that in the future, or is paid family leave not moving quite as quickly as paid sick leave?
Well, New York actually just passed a law that will require it going into the future, a form of paid family leave. And it is something that you've heard discussed in the presidential debates this year. Particularly on the Democratic side, there's been a lot of talk about the need for paid family leave. I think we're going to continue to see paid sick leave take the forefront. That's kind of an initial step, paving the way for a broader leave policy, and I think that's one that can take place often, as we're seeing, at the local level, whereas something on the order of a paid family leave, the way that these programs are structured requires state involvement and state legislatures to act.
Well, that'll definitely be an interesting trend to watch. Well, before we go, do either of you have a final piece of advice that you'd like to offer for employers?
As employers are figuring out how to administer a paid sick leave policy, how to set it up and how to administer it, they should have all the stakeholders at the table. There's typically this push-pull between two areas. One is administrative ease. Let's do it easiest versus both the actual cost of having to provide paid sick leave or increase your benefits and the business disruption because folks get to take job-protected leave. So you want to make sure you've got all your stakeholders at the table. You want to have both HR, payroll, but also somebody who's really talking about the interest that your managers and supervisors might have in having the workforce there and doing the job.
And Mark, anything you'd like to add to that?
I would say one of the keys is to make sure that you have a resource in which you can track the explosion of these paid sick leave laws. We expect to continue to see this trend evolve, and employers don't want to be on the short end of missing a particular piece of legislation and finding out that their employees should have been entitled to certain types of leave in a jurisdiction where they have offices and finding out only after the fact.
Mark Phyllis and Pam Salgado practice with Littler Mendelson, the nation's largest law firm devoted exclusively to representing employers. Mark and Pam, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Thanks for listening. To hear more from Mark and Pam, they'll be presenting a free paid sick leave webinar for Expert HR, and you can check out our website for details on how to register. We also invite you to continue checking experthr.com regularly for more podcasts on key employment topics affecting the world of HR. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR, our subscription offering, or our 50-state employee handbook, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved.